Focus on Business and WCOM-FM would like to thank Focus Resources for underwriting the Focus on Business radio program. Their website is focusresourcesinc.com. If you would like to become an underwriter for Focus on Business or any of the WCOM FM LP 103.5 programs or the station, visit the WCOMFM.org website for information on underwriting shows, becoming an individual sponsor, becoming a Golden Voice sponsor, or how to volunteer with the station. That's WCOMFM.org. We're on the air because you care. And you underwrite our programs. You're listening to WCOM-FM, LP, Chapel Hill and Carrboro, 103.5 on the dial, and live streaming from WCOMFM.org. Here's a reminder that the comments, views, and opinions expressed on this program do not necessarily represent the opinions of WCOM, its board, and underwriters. From Main Street to Wall Street, the issues impacting your business, we're talking leadership, technology, politics, regulation, and success stories that inspire. It's time to focus on business. I'm your host, author, speaker, entrepreneur, and business consultant, Lee Strickland. I'm the CEO of Focus Resources and 2S Innovations and founder of the Network for Business Growth. I've also created the Core Business Transformation System. And now today's program. Well, in today's program, I'm going to split the show into two sections. I'm starting the show today talking about veteran entrepreneurship and supporting veterans programs and my program called the American Mission from Battlefield to Business, which helps start veteran-owned businesses and get them started off on the right foot. And then we're going to be joined by Alicia Ramsey, a veteran-owned business. And Alicia, full disclosure, has been a client of mine in previous times. She is not currently a client, but she's going to share her experience as a veteran and making the transition from the battlefield to business and tell us about her business, Tell Your Vision Studios. And so let me get started talking to you about the American Mission from Battlefield to Business. Our military loses a lot of talent every year, just through natural attrition.
The average length of service for our military is 4 years. And so when it comes time for them to transition from the military career, from that 4-year period of the government telling them what to do, when to do, and having a team around them, to solo, to either looking for a job or wanting to start their own business, that transition can be very difficult. And programs like the American Mission from Battlefield to Business that I run within Focus Resources is a program that helps these veterans, their spouses, active military and their spouse, a widow or widower of a vet, and our first responders make a decision as to whether business ownership is for them. So what does the program entail? It literally entails talking to the veterans in large groups and forums at conferences and one-on-one about their military career and about their aspirations after the military. Are they coming out? Are they an attorney? Are they a doctor? Are they a dentist? Are they a mechanic, a nurse? What were they in the military, and is that what they want to build a business around? Is that what they want their career to be in someone else's business after they leave the military? And it's a tough conversation, because whether we are going to go looking for a job and encourage them to do that, or we want to help them start their own business or buy into an existing business or buy a franchise, it's a personal, a professional, and a financial decision. It takes time. It takes effort. It takes an investment of heart and soul and passion and money and time. And so not every veteran and not every active military person, not every person in the world wants or is equipped to run a business. But for those who want to explore business ownership, the American Mission from Battlefield to Business is one program that can help them understand everything from the mechanics of business, the nuts and bolts of different types of legal entities, the tax implications, hiring decisions, locations, domains, websites, intellectual property. We're going to walk them through understanding the building blocks of successful businesses. And we use within our program the tools and techniques and the workshops and webinars that I use with my regular clients, because these are regular clients. They're just veteran clients, and we're helping them take that step. And we go through everything from the concept of what their business is and will be, to the market opportunity they're going to go after. How are they going to find the customer? Who is the customer? What need? What solution are they going to provide? To what resources do they need personally to live on while they're building their business, and for the business to get started and to grow? We're going to talk about time, about talent, about skills and abilities, about money and funding the business. We're going to walk through those elements of resources before the veteran or the active military person ever spends the first dollar on starting their business. We want them to understand the importance of the challenges of the business and the steps that it takes. And that gets us to them building an entity. And that includes setting up the right type of legal entity and tax entity, but perhaps more importantly, building the business entity model, or how they're going to make business, how they're going to make money, how is their business going to generate revenue and profits and cash flow to keep the business going, to pay them a wage, to get employees, to do all the things that businesses do. And so we dig into those elements to see how the business is going to succeed. What's it going to take? We're going to build a business plan. We're going to go through all those elements. And then we're going to help them learn to find the customer, to get that first customer in, buying their product, their service, their technology. We're going to walk them through that market opportunity to market reality of customers buying from them versus someone else. What is their competitive advantage? Why should the customer buy from this veteran-owned business? We're going to take them through the operational steps of setting up, making sure they have the right people doing the right jobs at the right time. We're going to make sure that they're not only working in the business, they're working on the business, and they know everything from marketing and business development to sales techniques, to handle social media, to what goes on their website, how's the accounting and bookkeeping going to occur, what prices should they charge. All of those kind of things are operational aspects of the business that will make or break their business. And so we work with them on that too. And that comes down to the other element of results. What results do they want? What are their goals for their business? And what are the results they're going to generate for the customer that's going to keep the customer coming back to buy from them? those elements are critical, and it all comes down to the final element we walk them through, which is execution, making things happen at the right time, in the right way, handling things once and once correctly, or if something goes wrong, knowing where to ask for help and get that help early and often. It's important that every business be able to execute. If your business can't execute, then you won't be in business very long. So many businesses are about their product, their service, or their technology, and they forget the operational and other aspects of the business that makes the business stronger, that makes the business succeed. And so it's as much about your business, your customer, your results for the customer, and why that product, that service, that technology, or that combination of things that you're delivering really does meet a market need, really does attract customers, and you've got it priced right, that you can keep your promises and deliver those products, services, and technology when you promised them at the price you promised for the profit you promised for your business. Otherwise, you won't be in business very long. And so it's really critical that our businesses get started right. And a lot of us work in the business world day in and day out, and we know a lot of the elements and we've been exposed to them. That's not always true when our military are coming home and they're leaving the military. They may have been in logistics, but they know nothing about marketing. They may be an attorney, and they can have a legal practice of their own, and they know about legal structures and things of that, but they don't know how to do their bookkeeping. They forget to bill. They don't track things. All of this kind of mechanics of your particular business, whether it's a food truck, it's a dental practice, you're a lawyer, you're a mechanic, whatever business our veterans want to start, we want to start it out right. We want to make sure they're getting things right right now. They're doing it right from day one so they don't spin their wheels, they don't lose their resources, they don't lose time, and they don't fail because of a bad business plan or a lack of a business plan or a lack of knowledge about what they don't know, they don't know. And so my guest coming up is Alicia Ramsey. She is a Army veteran. She's served in Iraq. She's a communications expert, and she has built her business, Tell Your Vision Studios, around that expertise. She's the product, she's the service, and she is an expert in video and communications marketing for businesses. So Alicia's going to be joining me in just a few minutes, and until then, we're going to take a quick break and thank our underwriters and give you some information about upcoming events. Focus on Business would like to thank our underwriter, Close HR Connections. Ann Close of Close HR Connections has been on the show, and she is a great supporter of WCOM-FM and Focus on Business. Visit their website, closehrconnections.com. Focus on Business is underwritten by Focus Resources. Their website is focusresourcesinc.com. That's F-O-C-U-S. resourcesinc.com. You're listening to Focus on Business on WCOM, FM, LP, Chapel Hill, and Carrboro. That's 103.5 on the dial. And now, back to Focus on Business. And my studio guest today is Alicia Ramsey, as I told you before. Alicia is the CEO of Tell Your Vision Studio, a full video production company. And her businesses, her client includes Cisco, Microsoft, as well as many businesses worldwide. She has interviewed world-renowned multi-million dollar women CEOs, best-selling authors like Zig Ziglar and Gary Vaynerchuk, and celebrities like Rachel Ray and Stacey London. She is a thought leader for the next generation, and her mission is to help people discover their true value and reveal their authentic self through stories that are told to change the world. She gives loving yet wisecracking advice. She inspires tens of thousands to take charge of their success and happiness by becoming transparent in their business, getting comfortable on the camera and sharing true stories and learning to turn passions into cash. One of Alicia's passions is the flea market. She loves finding, buying, and flipping decorator items for a profit. Alicia, thanks for being on the show today.
Thank you, Lee. I'm stoked to be here.
So you're a veteran-owned business. You are an expert in video production and filming. You've had a morning talk show called AM Raleigh and have just been doing so much around the community for veterans, for businesses. So tell everyone why you decided to have your own business and what was the challenge of making that transition from being in the Army to being a business owner?
Well, I think some people in life were born to be entrepreneurs, and some, you know, they just had that spirit since they were a kid. You know, they were the lemonade Lucys of in the world. I was definitely a lemonade Lucy, and then I would expand that out. I had a car washing circuit around my neighborhood when I was like 8 years old, and I've just always ventured. Being a military service member for 10 years, it sort of hit me that at that 10th year point, I was a captain at that point, and I had, you know, 3 overseas tours, and I was ready to transition into entrepreneurship, into starting my own business, but I had no idea how to do that. I sort of just took a leap of faith. I got out of the military. I found a recruiter right away because that's what all the other officers were doing. And when you're op tempo working 12 plus hours a day in Iraq or wherever you are, and then you go to Fort Living Room and you're sitting there, like, you sort of need to fill that time. And so I did what most service members do. You go to a recruiter, you create your resume, and you start finding work. I did that. I did that initially, even though my heart was set on starting my own business. I hadn't saved enough cash, to be quite honest. I didn't have a stockpile of cash waiting to support me for a long period of time while I got things going. And that's, you know, one of my big regrets. I had saved so much money, but as soon as I got back, things happened. Bought cars. My mom passed, spent money on that. I mean, just you name it, I spent money on it, right. And the cash went so fast. But I got a job right away that lasted about 9 months. Even though it was a good paying job, I was like, felt like I was swiping my life away every time I swiped my badge.
Right.
And so I literally, I was married at the time. I literally told my spouse, I came home and I said, I'm not going back. And I sat on my sofa on the armrest with my computer, and I figured out my next move, and that was to start my own business. There was no safety net. There was no alternative. Right. Alicia was unemployable at this point because she had to, in my heart and my soul, for my livelihood, not just my livelihood, for my life. Like, I'll tell you what happened, to be honest. And this has probably happened to a lot of veterans. I was driving home from that job. It was an hour-long commute each way. I was about 30 minutes in my commute home, and I had this epiphany, like, why am I here on the planet?
Right.
And that's scary. When you have that talk with yourself, like, why am I even here? Like, this can't be it for me. You need to do something else. And when I got home, that's what I did. I totally did a 180. And it's scary. And while I started to build my own business, you better believe I had to side hustle 2 other jobs. Yes, I went and got little part-time stuff. And while I was doing those part-time jobs, oh, the thoughts in my head were just killing me because I didn't want to be there. But I forced myself to be there to pay ends meet so that I could build my own business.
Well, and I think that's something that any person making a transition from the corporation or from the military doesn't realize how long it takes to build that business book so that you're actually replacing your income that you had and the business sustains you. And so you need that nest egg and you need the cost. In your case, you had investment in equipment and things like that.
Yeah.
And you need that nest egg and it goes out faster than it ever came in, especially in like the first 3 years of business.
The biggest takeaways from that transition experience were, number one, when you start your business, you think you have an idea of what it's going to look like and who your customers are. But that quickly dictates by your customers, right? Your customers quickly tell you what that business is. And number two, I'm in a creative sort of business. And so I had to find my voice in my business, right? So I kind of describe it like you don't tell Martin Scorsese like how to go film, do his films, right? Like Martin Scorsese will show you what his film will look like for you. And I'm sort of that way with my clients. Like they tell me their dreams and they tell me their visions and they tell me what they want. But like when I bring my company in, like this is how we do it. We're experts at this. And I'm like close to 100% satisfaction rate, right? With like showing them and debuting their video projects in my case. But I had to find my voice. So right off, I thought I was going to do videos for people, these compilation music videos for like tributes, like tribute DVD is what I called it. I mean, this was early, early on. I'm going way back. And quickly learned that videos for a want purpose don't pay a lot.
Right.
I had to do videos for a need. I don't hear myself anymore. I had to do videos for a need, which means now it's echoey. Can you hear that?
Just keep going.
So anyway, I had to do videos where people actually need what I'm doing and not just want what I'm doing. So then I go, well, I'm not doing videos for civilians. I need to do videos for business. So I did that. That transition. Number two, I wasn't charging enough because I was building my portfolio. And so what I did was I started off charging hundreds of dollars for a video, which wasn't even enough to pay my help. And I quickly learned my own value. So what I recommend to all veterans and service members is that you definitely have to slap that badge on. Now you're not putting a uniform on, but it's what I call slap your badge on, right? You slap that badge on of business owner on your shoulder and you stand firm on that. If you only want to charge a little bit at the beginning, that's okay. But just know your prices aren't going to darn stay there, because as soon as you build that portfolio and you can walk confidently in the services that you provide and the output that you give your client, you better believe they're going to pay what it's worth. And the third, so understanding your value. That was really important for me. I had to understand my value. And like you said, it took time.
Well, and a lot of times, though, you've said several things that I think our listeners really need to pay attention to, especially our veterans, is that when you're the product, it has to be an authentic product. You can't be, you know, Joe down the street as the product, because you're not Joe. You have to find who you are, what value you have, and you have to recognize that the customer you think initially was going to buy from you may not be the customer, because they may not have the willingness to pay the price that gives you that profit that stays in business. And so that's a big challenge for a lot of us. And then I'm going to say this, and the women are probably going to scream that are listening, but I think women frequently undervalue themselves.
They do.
And all the way around. I think the wage gap that we have in jobs is because we don't place enough value and have strong enough negotiation skills. And that translates to our businesses.
I have a way to succeed through your pricing. I'll get that I'll get to that in 1 second. But yes, so you undervalue your worth. So you don't charge what Joe. So you look at what the market is charging for services like yours, but then you find out what differentiates your service. And in my case, who would I compare to? I would compare myself to other video production companies. But when people were hiring Alicia Ramsey, and Tell Your Vision, they weren't hiring a video production company per se. They weren't hiring a guy to pick up a camera and then walk on a job site and have people point and show me where to shoot. We are the lock, stock, and barrel. We go out and we tell people what their video needs to look like. We paint the vision. We create the whole entire creative
process.
And
you help them tell their story.
We help them tell their story. And that is my value. So because it's so more involved than picking up a camera, because we do so much, I had to stand on the value of that. So here's my key to how you price stuff and remove your emotional self-worth out of the equation. For me, what I did was I created a products and services. I create a contract and a pricing sheet. And when people see my contract / invoice, they realize they're paying Tell Your Vision for these products. I do not put my name on
it.
I don't say Alicia is going to do this on this day. I say Tell Your Vision will help you, blah, 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 blah. We will provide if it's just me, we will provide you this, this, this by this date. And you don't have that emotional need to go, sir, you need to pay me this. No, they're not paying me. They're paying my company. This is what my company expects. They pay half up front. They pay half when we deliver, but only we deliver only once they've paid.
Right.
That also took that out of the equation.
Well, and I think that's with service providers, that's a big challenge a lot of people have, and is collecting the money. You can't take back what service you've already delivered. And so if you're not setting your terms and your conditions, if you're not getting money up front, if you're not doing something that says, yes, I recognize my value and I'm it's my company. I may be the one that shows up today, but just as easily I could send someone tomorrow, because you hired a company and you hired the expertise of the company. And so I think that's a mindset that we frequently miss, but we have to do that in the homework leading up. It's pretty expensive, isn't it, learning at the first year in business?
Well, the first, 1 through 9, I'm still learning. I'll tell you an example. Terms and conditions, which I know, Lee, you love. Terms and conditions. You don't copy and paste a terms and conditions contract. When you can use a template, but when it comes to terms and conditions, that thing will grow. Trust me. Mine went from like a few lines to half a page, because something will happen in the terms of a contract. where a client will throw something Great. Loop in the system, and you're like, wait a minute, but I didn't write that they couldn't do that.
Or they could do that, but it costs more money.
So one example, when I book a client, they pay half down. Well, I had a client pay half down, and then 1 month passes, they didn't schedule the video shoot. 2 months passes, they didn't schedule the video shoot. I expected to finish this thing in 6 weeks and get paid on in 6 weeks. They hadn't even scheduled the shoot in 2 months. I didn't know what to do. I was freaking out. I'm like, this is so that means when we sign from the very beginning, they have to within 30 days schedule the video shoot within 30 days.
Well, and a lot of the times I know with clients that do construction and things like that, there's a non-refundable portion.
Yeah, I have that as well. I have non-refundable.
And you have to learn that because a lot of people, you think, well, they're spending $20,000 with me on this project, this remodel project, and yet they put the money down and, like you said, they don't schedule.
No refunds. No refunds on deposits. If they decide that they do not want your service after they've hired you and paid a deposit, there's no refunds. And please write that in your contracts. And please have a contract. Do you know, Lee, lesson number one I learned was a $5,000 lesson where I invested 50 hours with a client who was in a networking group with me, who wanted to be my mentor, who I trusted and spent all this time. And I finished the video and showed it to him, of which I had wrote the script. I had decorated his office to become a set. I mean, you name it. And he looked me in the face, and he was starting to write me a check for $100. He says, well, I'll just pay you $100. I said, are you serious? Like, I'm in tears, right? My videographer's with me. And he said, this is going to be the biggest lesson you ever learn. He said that to me across the table. Now, you talk about humble, like complete
failure. That lack of... and I always said, I promised myself when I started my business, I wouldn't do flat forehead syndrome and I would not have unethical clients. And so in my terms and conditions, you breach that and you're gone. You don't pay. You don't do something. You lie. You cheat. You steal. I'm gone. And I know when I started my business, the first 3 years, I was known for firing my clients. And one of the attorneys had referred somebody and he said, you fired him. I said, I did. He lied to me. He goes, well, will you take him back? I said, if you guarantee his behavior, he lied to me again. And it wasn't a minor thing about, you know, just some little minor thing. It was a huge thing. And so I fired him, and the attorney goes, but his investors. I said, well, the investors have to guarantee behavior. There's a three strikes rule. You don't come after that. And I said, here's the other thing. Every time I fire him, his rate goes up $50 an hour. And I mean, that started, and the investor's like, you have to get him straight. And I'm like, as long as he's lying to you, he's lying to everyone, there is no business here. And that was something you had to learn to when to pull the plug on clients. And I still have one a year. I've been in business 14 years, and there's always somebody that, even with the agreement, they know most small businesses do not have the capital to end up in court collecting the money, especially over state lines. And they pull things. And it's just amazing the lack of integrity of how you can, your contract can help protect you, but only so far as you're willing to go to court to enforce those contracts.
Use your gut instinct. Use your gut instinct. Listen to your discernment. Understand that if you have to sell yourself real hard to a client and then they fuss about how the cost of it, they do not value you. They will not value you. They will not be fun to work with. They aren't just being hard pressed on their budgets and watching their money. They actually don't respect you, and it's not going to be fun. I want fun clients, and I've had such fun clients. I had a client write me $1,000 over what I billed them. Come on now. I've had clients who are like, Alicia, you're the best thing ever. I mean, I need my ego stroked every once in a while. I need to hear those things. Like, it's so great when you work with someone who loves you and respects you, and you had fun doing it. You can find so many more of them. If you have to hard sell yourself so hard, and I'm a good salesman, I can sell to anybody.
She can sell ice to an Eskimo.
Right? But if I had to hard sell, that means that they don't believe in what I do and they don't believe in me. So that means I'm going to have to explain to them why this video is going to work. It's going to be painful. Don't hire those people,
guys. And that's
guys.
What
Choose
I call flat forehead syndrome. If I have to beat my head against a brick wall to get them to
good.
Do
I get it now. Yeah.
What I want them to do. If they, especially giving business advice, and I have a couple people now trying to get them on track with their businesses, and you tell them what to do, and they don't do it. And then they wonder why they're not getting a result. Well, you didn't show up for the meeting. You didn't talk to this person. You didn't get quotes on this. You didn't do X, Y, and Z. why do you think anything's going to change if you're not executing the things to change? And at that point, you just have to withdraw from the client because you're not going to be able to help them. And I remember turning down a client. I've told this story on air before, but he's a very well-respected businessman in the area, here in the RTP area, but he was not known for working with women. And I started the business 14 years ago. And so for some reason, somebody connected us, one of his golfing buddies, and said, he needs you. He's really struggling with this. He goes, but he's not going to like needing you. And so we went through all of these meetings, the hard sell, and finally he said yes. And I got there, and I really wanted that $12,000 check. I really wanted that $12,000 deposit. I needed to pay the mortgage like everyone else. And I looked at him, I said, that gut instinct, I said, it's just, I can't take you as a client. This just isn't going to work. Let me refer you to somebody you can not listen to, and they'll be fine with that. And a few weeks later, somebody called and laughing hysterically, and I thought it was an obscene call, and the guy just kept laughing. He goes, no, it's not what you think. Just, you know, and he kept thinking about it, and he said, you don't know what it meant for you to turn down his business. He is talking about you all over the place. She won't do business with me. He referred this guy who called and was laughing and said, maybe she'll take you as a client. Maybe she'll think you'll listen to it. And he said, you have no idea how your brand in the area has changed because you said, no, I wanted that check. And I told him I want that check. But this is not going to be a good relationship. I said, go through every other consultant you can run through that you won't listen to. And when you really want it fixed, come back and maybe I'll take you as a client. And it was huge for the business.
That's a bravo story. I love that. And, you know, there were a couple, like the one who didn't book his video on time. That was a really hard sell. In fact, he told me that he didn't think my value, my contract was worth what I was offering, that he could go get somebody else at whatever price. And I said, yes, but you're not hiring them to turn this video into business for your business. You're hiring them to produce something pretty. And there is a difference. So you're hiring me, you're hiring a business consultant, you're hiring a marketing person, you're hiring the visionary. Do you want that or do you want this?
Right, there's a big difference between someone filming something and you having a video. And we were reviewing a crowdfunding video for a colleague one day. And I said, it just wasn't right. And you immediately said, yes, you're right. This is wrong and this is wrong and I would change this. And that kind of expertise, that being able to envision what the product should be, how to shoot it, how to put it together, how to package it, is very different than someone just sitting down in front of a camera and being on film saying the same words, but it's not telling the story. And that's what you do, is you tell the story.
Yeah, I think, you know, with any business, you have to choose your customers. You have to love what you do. You have to, you really have to slap the badge on, stand on your value, stand on your price, get your contracts.
If you don't believe you're worth it, your customer is never going to believe you're worth it.
Oh my gosh, that has won me so much business, is the fact that every customer I've had has told me, man, you're good at sales. And I'm like, no, I believe in what I'm selling. I believe in every word that I am telling you in this meeting, and I am not making false promises. I stand on a 9-year history of success stories. So, but even if you're just starting, you can still stand on the fact that you're a person of integrity. And for the veterans out there, that's what we have. We have value in ourselves. We have value in our integrity. We have value in our work ethic and everything we stand for.
Well, and we have to remember that a lot of the things we do in business may not be a one-for-one transfer from something we've done before, but we've done something similar. So like, I know when I came out of the corporate world, somebody says, you have no experience raising money. I said, no, I have experience raising money with a one shot, only one place to go to, the board of directors of a business, that if they say no, you don't get to go back. And you're not asking them for $100,000. You're asking them for $100 million to do something. And you have to be able to do it. You had to make deals all the time in corporate America, negotiating different things, selling things to this. And I remember working with some engineers at one of the plants, prototyping a product. And they couldn't fly up for the meeting, it turned out. And so we were sitting there, and they had paint marked the product. They walked me through it. I knew it inside and out. Got in there, made the pitch for him. He goes, okay, what happened to finance? I said, oh, wait a minute, I'm finance. He goes, you're an engineer. I said, no, I'm finance. I believe in this product from a financial standpoint. And I did the work to walk through the prototyping process to understand what was being recommended. And then I could sell it on both ends. And that translated when I came out to my business. And people have to realize that things that we do in the corporate world, things that we had to do in our military careers,
it all adds up.
Translates. About 80% of what you have done in your life will translate to some aspect of how you do business or some job you're going to hold. It's just how you package it and you present it. The other 20% that's specific to things you don't know, or things you need to learn because it's a new industry or it's a new business, that's fine. You can dig in and do it as long as you're disciplined, as long as you're going to show up, as long as you're going to work hard, as long as you're going to manage your schedule, as long as you're going to believe in the value of who you are and what you've done previously coming in to your business or your career position in another business. And so it's really a big challenge for everyone to recognize and translate your experience in the field to your business.
Okay, so I'll give you an example of that. When I side hustled, I started a multi-level marketing thing where I sold beauty control products. I worked for Jenny Craig part-time. I was an assistant manager, and they were putting me through the managerial program. Well, the reason why I wanted the managerial program is because if you know anything about Jenny Craig, whether you've eaten the food or not, you know that they can
sell.
They
have a system.
They know how to sell. And they can get you in within a half hour, an hour. What company franchise do you know that can get you into their door to sit down and go through a presentation within the hour? Jenny Craig. So I knew that if I went through their system, it would help me in my business because I would copy their sales model over into mine. So what did I do? I went through the managerial training program, and they taught me that they have a script, a lead script, and every person they listen to their story, and they ask certain questions in a certain way.
They go through a close process.
Yeah, they go through a witch close, a trial close. They repeat your story back to you and get you so emotionally invested. It's not a mind control, but it definitely works. I do that with every one of my clients. And really, the point that I took from that and what I use in my business is that every client who calls me and is interested and who heard about me or whatever, I ask them questions right on the phone. You don't have to sit with me for coffee. I don't have to drive across town. You tell me what's on your mind right now on the phone.
What's your problem?
What is your problem? Right. What do you really need? What are you thinking about this? And I get right to it. And I tell them, so would this help? Is this something? And I start brainstorming. My brain starts already visioning videos for them. And I'm all in. I'm totally present with them. They know I care. Like, I'm totally already acting as if I'm one of their clients or they're one of my clients. I act as if they're part of my own business. Like, I am so vested in what they're telling me. I repeat it back to them. But by the end, no matter if I usually give a lot of value on that first call, even if without a contract, without anything. And then I say, well, what is your budget for this? Because this sounds like something I could do. Or I say, this doesn't sound like something that we specialize in. Well, Lee, I just told you.
Yeah, we did that.
I told you no. She was looking for video help, but she's doing an online educational platform video. I said, I don't really specialize in online educational platforms. There's an example. But I do usually say, well, this sounds like something I'd love to do. I'm excited to do it. We are passionate about it. And what is your budget?
But you not only said no, you said, well, I can do your events or I can do these interview programs, but not the e-learning platform. And so you were very specific about what it is that you do and what it is you don't do. And that, you know, businesses that don't do that miss opportunities because they've taken things they're not good at that are not going to turn out well and took them because they have
money. Capacity.
It's money coming in. And we shoot ourselves in the foot a lot of times saying, not listening to that gut instinct and not saying true to what we designed our business. How are we going to brand our business and what are we there for? If you're not there for e-learning platforms, then don't take on an e-learning platform. If you're not there for interview shows, then don't say you're great at interview shows. Whatever your product is, and like for me, my product is business. I am really great at building, structuring businesses and teaching people to be in business. And whether that's the accounting part, the marketing part, the sales part, all those kind of things, it's making all of those parts come together is my expertise. If you don't want your business to work, then don't call me.
No, she is hands down. I wish I said, man, when I make a lot of money, I want to hire her just to be part of whatever I'm doing because she's so good.
Well, we've done small things.
We've done projects and stuff.
And when we sat down and at that time we did an exchange of services because I needed a video to launch one of my programs, and we sat down, and in a little while you had it together. We'd done it, and it was great. And I sat there with you and gave you structure on things you needed to do.
I know, but you're so good. So let's just brag about Lee for a minute. But anyway, so one of the things, so that whole phenomenon of doing what you're good at, I call it staying in your lane, right? A lot of people call it staying in your lane. Stay in your lane. But there's also a philosophy. There's a fine line between staying in your lane and not turning down things either. So stay in your lane. You know, there's very specific video things that I do, but I had an opportunity come across my plate where I could have Microsoft as my client. It was my first major, major corporation, okay? I'm small potatoes, and then, oh my gosh, Microsoft's going to be my client. That was pretty exciting. They said, can you build a team? Yes. Do you know Silverlight? And I said,
my
no.
My team does.
I said, no, I don't. I said, I don't. They go, well, I said, but. And this was Friday night, and they needed something, a team by Sunday, okay? I knew no one. I don't know any Microsoft evangelists. But anyway, I said, I don't, but by Sunday at your deadline or earlier, I will not only have a team together, but I will have a Silverlight evangelist and specialist on that team to drive that. So I said yes, and I was going to figure it out. And I did. By Saturday afternoon, I had that whole team.
Right, but you said board. Yes, and but you didn't lie about what you knew.
No, no.
Right, you can build a team. And yeah. And I think people frequently say, well, I'll figure it out later, but they don't have the ability to reach out, which you have a network, and I have a network. When I need an employment law specialist in California, I reach out to my network and say, my client on this project, we need this expertise, and we find it and we plug that in. Everyone knows I'm not an attorney, but I can get the right attorney.
Well, yeah, right? And if you don't have a big network, it's Google, dude. Google is like the best thing that ever happened to me. I just Google it. And on that particular, I mean, find a Microsoft evangelist. First of all, find one who's a freelancer. Oh, good luck with that. And find one who's a freelance Microsoft Silverlight specialist. Like, no, that doesn't exist. So I'm Googling. I didn't even know what Silverlight was. I'm Googling it. I'm finding it. I'm going to blogs from 1994. This is like in the 2000s.
You're practically digging up bodies in the cemetery.
And do you know I found it and I found the right person? I was like, hallelujah. But if you Google just about anything, you can find it.
Well, and then you have to go through that validation process. Are they truly the expert articles? And I say, when you're looking for someone that you don't know, look for content that mm-hmm. you can find out if they've written something. What have they done? And so that you actually know they know what they say.
And what part did they play in what they're showing you? Right. For me, they'll show me a link to a video and I'll say, that's nice. What did you do in that video? Right. I want to know, did you hold a camera? Did you come up with the concept? Did you write the script? Was there a script? Did you, you know, edit it? Did you pick out the music? I literally pick these people apart. And you can do that in every industry because, like you said, and then testimonials. Like, don't send me your mom's referral. Don't send me your aunt's. Like, I want to know who actually loves your work. And photos go so far and videos go so far with that. Like, have a track record of your successes, you know?
Well, and that validation, because I think that's something, another mistake that is made in starting our businesses is that we think when someone gives us a name, they're vouching for that person. And just because someone refers them, whether it's in your referral network when we were talking, we have issues because people don't truly know how to validate the expertise. When they say, well, here's a bookkeeper, and you get the person coming over, and I've had this out of a referral group. They said, well, she does bookkeeping. Well, okay, she does bookkeeping. A lot of people can do bookkeeping. Is it done right? Do they have credentials? Do they know the rules for when something is a revenue and when something's not a revenue? And you find so many people that give you names because they're in a group or they know this person. You still have to do your homework. And a lot of times you have to do it even more deeply because it's harder to find. They have a lot of business coming in. But just because they're busy doesn't mean those customers are happy. It doesn't mean the work you've done for them is correct. And so you have to validate the skills and the services and actual knowledge when you're going to work with people.
So I have a name for that too. So I have a name for everything. Slap the badge on, say yes and figure it out later. This one is called the tattoo referral. If you're going to get a tattoo, if you're going to get a tattoo, it is permanent on your body. You are not going to take someone's word that this person's good at a tattoo. You want to see the damn tattoo.
Or that they can spell.
Yeah. You like show me the work. Like, I only have one tattoo. But when I got mine, I saw a girl's arm, and I saw she was covered in tattoos, but there was one specific one on her wrist that was so stunning and real and amazing and beautiful and colorful that I said, I love your tattoos, but this one, who did this one? And she gave me the name, and I went right down. It's called a tattoo referral. You are not going to take someone's word for a tattoo. You have to see the work first.
Well, and that's a great name for it. And I'm gonna steal that. But because it's indelibly etched on the fabric of your business when you do something. And no matter how good we are, when we get a bad customer, or we get a bad vendor, we get a bad somebody that we're gonna work with in a joint venture or things, that sticks on our business no matter how well respected we are. A bad project is a bad project. A bad referral is a bad referral. I bounced check from a reputable firm, which I've had happen. And it was a CFO services firm, and their check bounced. And I'm like, you guys are CPAs. You're, and they said, well, it's not our fault. It bounced. You deposited it before the date on the check. And I'm like, it's 30 days past due, and you can't post date checks. You're CPAs. And it was just, you know, it's that shift. Well-respected CFO services firm. But, you know, I've had to tell my clients, it's like, you come in, they need my services. It's like, I don't work with them. And I don't have to explain why, but everybody usually knows when I say I don't work with them, there's been something pretty major happen. And they usually know it's going to be an ethical thing that I'm just going to say, absolutely. I'll be over here. I'll do this. Or I've had other consultants take the stuff I've built for clients, and suddenly it's distributed at a business event. And I start getting calls, and I'm like, where did you get that? Well, so-and-so gave it to me. I said, one, it's intellectual property. Two, it's a violation of copyright. You can write a check for $150,000. And I said, did he leave the confidential client information? And, oh, yeah, all the stuff's still filled in. And I'm like, you know, it's just so wrong. But people don't always understand. And in that case with that consultant, the guy's in his 60s and should know better. But we have to protect ourselves. We have to protect our brand. We don't want bad referrals.
Yeah, that goes back to terms and conditions, too. It's like for my video projects, one of the terms and conditions is that my video products, they're actual products, they're given to a client. They cannot be broken apart, edited apart, spliced apart, and be called a Tell Your Vision project. We have to make the edits to that. And because that's our artwork, right? You're not going to go take the Iron Man movie and like splice that apart and like, you know, present it in a way. You can't do that. That's not legal. And so same thing for a small business. I'm small, but you know what? Our art is our art. If you need our art, if you need an edit or whatever, we can totally do that for you. But it's just,
well, and I don't, and I don't think people understand that when someone builds them a website, and if you don't pay them, you haven't transferred ownership. That website, the content, the art, the logo that website company built is still theirs because you didn't finish the project. They have the copyright until you pay them for it. The video, somebody can't go out and do or think you get your picture taken for a headshot. And it was funny because when I have that happen, you know, the photographers always want to put it on site. I was like, no, that's my image. I'll pay more for the copyright, but it's not going to be splashed around anywhere else.
It's so important right now. Oh, my gosh. So in talking about business, the licensing laws, understanding copyright, oh, my gosh.
Automatic copyright.
Has never been more important than now. I use music royalty, music that is licensed. I pay for a license, but there are different varying degrees of licenses. Right. I've had my videos on YouTube. They can now run algorithms that track the soundtrack of whatever video it is. So they would put their music into a system, which would scrub YouTube looking for videos that contain their music. It's stunning.
And then
they can do
and
that.
They look to see. And it's the same
and they'll
images.
Attach Getty, their name to it to
Getty,
get money.
Yeah. Getty mm-hmm. Images in particular has software that they scan to make sure that someone isn't going out and clipping the images and then putting them in their websites and things like that. And
I had no idea. So, yeah, you guys pay for the right license for the right purpose, and that includes your logo. If you bought a logo that's mass-produced, make sure you're getting the right to print it on X amount of materials, distribute it online.
Well, and the other thing is when we're talking about music and images, usually those licenses, like if I'm going to use it for the radio show here at the community radio station, there's different rules than if I'm going to use it for a podcast that's not hosted by the radio station. I can't do the same things different places. So I have to know when I have to go get a new license and how many downloads can it be? How many appearances can somebody watch it on YouTube? And so, like, it's important to understand those. And there are places you can get licenses to cover the song. Or, like, here at the radio station, we can play the originals. But if I take that podcast to my website, that music has to be pulled out because it's no longer on the community radio station. It's no longer on those. And so you have to go back and you have to know. And it's important for people doing videos, doing websites, doing articles. I don't know how many times I've gotten called by executives saying, I read your original article and some guy just walked in here with his name on your article. He changed a few words, but not enough that it wasn't obvious. And people think, well, they can do that. No, it's automatically copyrighted. I don't have to file it with a copyright office. It would be way too expensive with the amount of content I do. I automatically have the copyright. I can defend it. I don't even have to prove damages to defend it. I just have to prove they did it. And so whether you're photocopying a book, all of those different things, you have to understand when it's fair use and you can quote something for a review, when you can't. When you can play a little bit of the music. It's like people don't sing the Happy Birthday song on TV because they have to pay the
royalty. Or in restaurants.
And so we really have to understand what we don't know when our businesses and when we're the products, when we're creative and we're making content for articles, for books, for videos, for music, whatever it is. We have to know how to protect it, and we also have to know how not to violate someone else's protection.
Well, I want to share one of my favorite resources, if I can.
Sure.
Lee. One of my favorite resources for where I get, I can take and purchase rights to use logos. I can purchase PowerPoint presentations that are just amazing, graphically stunning. I can everything from invoices, stationery, music. Videos, video clips, imagery, animations, everything can be found at the Envato Marketplace.
And love
it's spelled Envato.
Envato.com.
Envato. And on Envato, it contains different sub-sites. And the sub-sites are depending on what you need. Do you need images? It's Photodune. Do you need, you know, a template for your WordPress? It's ThemeForest. Do you need video? Video Hive. And they're all
.net. Need audio? Audio Jungle.
Audio Jungle.
But again, you have to look at what you're going to use it for and which type of license did you get.
Yeah, which license. So you have to drop down and select which license. So, for example, if you sign up with Envato Marketplace, I'm like a commercial for them right now. Envato Marketplace, once you sign up with them and deposit some funds, you can use that money across every single one of their sub websites.
Well, I like something they do every month. You get a few freebies that you can use for non-commercial things.
Okay, I download the freebies every month. So you get.
I can't wait to see what they're going to be.
Right? I just used one. I got a free lower thirds template for my videos. I got a free Audio Jungle music track, and I got a free Photodune and a free ThemeForest.
Well, and you look at when those free, they come under one license. If you want to use them, say I would want to put them in one of my e-learning platforms that I was going to sell, then I have to upgrade it from the free version to the extended license.
That's a good point. I haven't done that.
And it's just, you just have to look at each one to understand what does it do. iStock Photos is another one when you're going for images. There's just different sites around
there. I used to use iStock, but Photodune, because I use Envato so much, it's become great. But anyway.
Well, and it's looking for those resources. Something I love, too, I don't know if you've tried it, is Canva.
I haven't.
And you go out there and you can make your own graphics. So whether you're doing a Facebook graphic, you're doing an ad, you're doing a flyer, you can go out. And I built so much of the graphics that I'm using them in my website using the free tools and then just using colors and text and things like that. And so it's fun to look there and see. But you can take your Photodune photo that you've paid the extended license and pull it up, build your ad for Facebook or a flyer or whatever it is, or something for your website, and it's a free tool. I mean, there are things that you can pay for different images and things like that, but it's exploring those things as businesses, sharing those little nuggets of how we're going to do it. Because, and the more creative I'm going to say you are, I know Alicia recognizes this, is like when you get an idea in your head, you're not going to sleep if you can't get that image created for your website when it's coming. And I don't know how many times at 2 o'clock in the morning I'm hitting Photodune or iStock. I'm pulling this in, I'm putting it in Canva, and I'm mocking it up.
Claiming the GoDaddy website URL. So this is what I do. So I get a new idea. I name it. I create taglines for it. I've already claimed a Facebook page for it, an Instagram page for it, a YouTube page for it. I've created a Gmail for it. I've gone on Envato Marketplace. I'm creating the imagery for it. all that within 60 minutes.
Right, and that sort of stakes your claim. I do that with every book title.
It stakes your claim.
So I get the domain names. And you know you're buying a lot of domain names when GoDaddy calls you and says, well, this is the cheaper way to do it. Here's your annual.
I know the cheaper way to do it.
We'll have to talk about that off there. So there's this level, and I was just getting noticed that membership is coming up, and I need to renew it. And I was like, oh, yes, I need to renew it. Because a lot of times, even for clients, they haven't protected those domain names. And it's making sure you put a stake in the ground. They're Gmail. They're doing different things. And there's times, like using a Canva product or PhotoDune, that's low cost or no cost for certain things, that it's good to do that. And then there's other times that for branding your business, you want to invest in that domain name. You want to use your branded domain name email. You don't want things going through Gmail. You want to say, this is my brand, this is who I am, and I've been willing to invest in myself, and I add value, and that's what I'm doing. I don't know how many businesses I see still using, they have a domain name, but they won't pay for the email to use their domain. And that just sends a completely different message for
the business. It does, but right out the gate, I mean, even if you just do claim the Gmail and you haven't gone there, at least do that. But yeah,
so here's the proviso I always tell everybody, and yours probably isn't, like, because a free Gmail account is not confidential.
Yeah.
It's scanned by Google. That's something to recognize, that whenever you're doing patent related, when you're doing confidential things, you don't want the free email accounts, and that's not where you want it to go.
That's good.
So you need to protect those kind of things. If you can believe it or not, we only have a couple minutes left. So let's give everybody a summary of some tips that you've learned in launching Tell Your Vision Studios, and what the biggest lesson is and what the biggest pitfall you've experienced.
You know, I think we've talked about a lot of the tips so far.
Which one is the one that if you had to tell someone, this is the one that you would want to tell them?
You do not invest time, money, energy, anything without a contract written that has been signed, officially signed by the person you're doing the product and services for. So the company CEO, you know, don't mess around with subsets of the company, individuals who are masking as someone in charge and really have no authority on that. I mean, the person who is ultimately going to be paying you and cutting you a check needs to have signed off on that. Do not do any work. Do not do not work on promises. Work only off of paper.
Well, and that's for going, I'm going to take that to another step forward. Just because you have a verbal contract, it's still enforceable, but it's harder to enforce. And so you need to make sure you've spelled out all those terms and conditions, all those elements of what they've said they want, what they're buying, and protect yourself in those. So that is, like, a really critical element.
Don't do anything without someone signing a piece of paper. And the second part to that for me is paying some money down. Because if they're not willing to put any money down towards your business, they're not serious. They are not serious.
Put your money where your mouth is.
Yeah. Some companies, though, like Cisco, when I work with them, I know that their payout is 30 days ahead. So I'll write the invoice and have them submit it 30 days before I'm out to go film, because then I at least get paid close to being on time.
Well, and again, that's about understanding the customer you're dealing with. I'm going to say the other thing is, if you wouldn't do business with a person without an legal agreement, don't do business with them with one. Because you're still going to have the same issues.
That's great. You choose your clients. That's the biggest thing. Have fun in your business and make sure you stand on what you're delivering.
And believe it or not, that's the end of the show. I want to thank Alicia Ramsey of Tell Your Vision Studios for being on the show today. And everyone, until next time, stay focused on the important things.
Focused on Business would like to thank our underwriter, Close HR Connections. Ann Close of Close HR Connections has been on the show, and she is a great supporter of WCOM-FM and Focus on Business. Visit their website, closehrconnections.com.
Focus on Business is underwritten by Focus Resources. Their website is focusresourcesinc.com. That's focusresourcesinc.com.
I knew a man, called him Sandy Kane. Few folks even knew his name, but a hero, yes, was he. Left a boy, came back a man. Still many just don't understand about the reasons we are free. I can't forget the look in his eyes or the tears he cried as he said these words to me. All gave some, some gave all, some stood through for the red, white, and blue, and some had to fall. If you ever think of me, think of all your liberties and recall. Some gave all.